Tim Montgomery has joined us on Sports Byline USA. Tim, there had to have been a drive inside of you. What was it that pushed you to try to go higher and higher and higher?
When I reached it, it was somehow taken away from me. It was somehow wasn't enough. And I always had it as a kid. Always been impatient. When I would get home from school, I would watch cartoons. During the commercials, I'd take out the front door and run all the way around the house and try to beat the commercial, the show back on. So I always been an impatient, a driven kid. My Christmas toys, I would always open them up and wanted to see what made them work. And that's the same thing I did with my run. I always seek for the best. I always wanted to know who was the best. And that's why I went to Charlie Francis, because I was like, who can teach me how to run the world record that has ran fast like 9.79? The only person was Charlie Francis with Ben Johnson or John Smith with Maurice Green. John Smith with Maurice Green, I couldn't go there. So I seeked out the best of the best. And sometimes when you seek out the best of the best, you get the worst of the worst. So I seeked out the Victor Contes. I seeked out the Charlie Francis. I seeked out the Trevor Grounds. I seeked out what I wanted to put the formula together, what I'm putting the formula together the right way in life now. I'm not letting ill decisions. Every decision I make is a calculated decision. I learned that from sitting down in prison. I learned it was two ways I could go. When I got to prison, I could stay there, add more time to myself, or I can learn some new trades and better myself and come out a better person. And I chose to come out a better person. I chose to sit there and dedicate my time into really putting together a program that works for anyone and everyone when it comes to speed.
Maybe you can help me with this, and I think help the listeners around the world with it as well. In the 90s and into the 2000s, it was a very dark time in sports competition, whether it be baseball, football, or even track and field, or even cycling worldwide. And I don't know how we got to that particular point. I had a friend of mine in Major League Baseball when we were down at spring training one time in the height of the drug problem in Major League Baseball. He said, you know, they came to me after the season and said, we want you to put on 30 pounds. And Ron, in the 3 months before we went back to training camp, the only way you could do that was by doing something you should not be doing. And obviously people have always used, and I think you even alluded to it to some degree, have always used the rationale that everybody else is doing it. So if I want to be able to compete on an even playing field, I've got to do it as well. Take me into track and field in particular and tell me the mentality and the rationalization that I went on with you, went on with Marion Jones, went on with other people that made it right to be able to use performance-enhancing drugs, at least in your opinion.
Okay. I can definitely do that because I took 43,725 hours in prison to try to make sense of it. And I'm going to give it to you tonight. When you look at the records of Babe Ruth, you don't look at how many games they played compared to the games they played now. So it was many games played, or you look at the scoring record of basketball, you look at any records that was put into place, and you feel like you don't look at how many games they had to play and the games are shorter now. All you want to do is break that record. And when the first person used and broke that record, everybody behind them had to use to break that record. And so it became where, man, I've tried everything I can naturally to achieve what I'm trying to achieve. So do I sit here and say my best is not good enough, or do I go for the best of the best? See, a lot of people was like, oh, if I took steroids, I could have been fast too. Not really. I beg a difference. Everyone that you see that was great was already at the height of their career, and then they used and got even better. You take Barry Bonds. He already could hit the ball. When he enhanced himself, he was able to hit it more times than he was usually hitting it. You take A-Rod. At 16 years old, he signed a $1 million contract. He was already Golden Glove. But to keep that status and to keep that first class, because once you get in first class, going to the back of the plane is not an option in our mind. And that's why a lot of athletes go broke, because instead of downsizing, we make choices to try to keep it. And most of the choices that we try to keep, the things that we have, and that's what I came up with, to measure success, you got to know what success means to you, not to everyone around you. Is success based on the materialistic things that you can achieve, or the goals that you have set in life that you have achieved, or is it, I woke up this morning and I kissed my kids and they went to school and I'm happy? So until you figure out what success means to you, that's when you understand the power of success.
Did you ever
answer your question? I looked at Hitler. I got to go here. Because you got Tim Montgomery on here, and you're going to get Tim Montgomery, okay?
Okay.
I looked at Hitler during the Holocaust. He used the Olympic Games during the Holocaust to hide what was going on, okay? I look at George Bush, that was the owner of the Texas Rangers, that he knew what was going on in baseball. So when we was in Afghanistan, guess who brought down steroids in sports to hide what was going on over there? So even though we had a big war going on, all the talk was steroids, baseball, steroids, and athletes. Everyone knew that what was going on that was in the sports world.
Did you ever feel guilty about going up against competitors that maybe were not using steroids or performance-enhancing drugs and having an advantage over them because you were using them?
I felt like they couldn't have beat me if I was clean. I knew they could. And the art of war is to come prepared. So being an athlete and being a great athlete, you become selfish. You have to become selfish. You it's like being a soldier. You have to sit out there and try to survive. So I was strictly on survival mode, and my survival mode was achieving what no one has ever achieved before.
How widespread was the use of steroids and performance-enhancing drugs when you were racing?
I would have to say, because I don't like opinions, I only can state what I felt. I felt like everyone, for them to be beating me, it was like when Ben Johnson beat Carl Lewis. Carl Lewis looked at Ben Johnson and said, hey, he has to be dirty, because you know why? Because I'm dirty. So if he beat me, he has to be dirty. That was the big stink about it. You know, you're not saying, hey, if you know everybody is clean, then you know, oh, he beat me because he's just better than me. But when you know you're dirty, you're going to say, oh, he has to be dirty too because I'm dirty. And that's the way that 100 meter was. It was, you could feel the power from step one, step two, step three, step four. You knew it wasn't humanly possible for after to have that type of power to push themselves down that track. You could feel it. I get beside an athlete when I was clean. I could feel like, man, is that possible for him to get away from me that quickly at the start? So you could feel it. So as you go in bed and you lay down and you've been beat, and you sit there and you get in the shower and you get on your and you sitting on your butt crying and letting the water wipe your tears away, that's when you want to be a champion.
Let me ask you about Victor Conti for just a second. You know, I've had Victor on the show a number of times, and he apparently has gone over to the other side, the good side, trying to clean up the sport. But tell me a little bit about Project World Record.
Well, I contacted Victor Conti because I felt like he could help. I was looking for anybody that knew something that the rest of the people did not know. I was sitting there warm up, and I seen all these athletes come in with their massage therapist. I seen them come in with the coach. I seen them come in with the agent. I seen them come in with a guy that, who is this guy? Who is this guy? And people said, oh, that's his doctor. You don't have a doctor? I'm like, a doctor? What do you need a doctor for? Oh, just to make sure his levels, well, he won't cramp, and just to make sure everything's right. So then I started investigating. So I was like, hey, I got to find me a doctor. So in 1999 in Seville, I looked at Mary Jones, and as she crossed and was winning, I said, hey, Trevor Graham don't have a male athlete. If he can get a female to run that fast, let me go down there and see can he coach me. And as I got down there, the world of drugs was opened up to me. And from that point on, I said, hey, I'm about to find me a doctor. So I found Victor Cunty, and Victor Cunty sit down, and he put two people that are willing to go beyond life into death to achieve something. Victor Cunty is just as pushing and shovey as me. So when we sat down and he saw me run and he let Remy see me run, Remy said, I think this is the best talent ever. If you look at any sprinter from the beginning of their career, he's probably the best talent out there, natural. So Victor got Charlie Francis, another great sprinter. He got Milos, a strength coach, and we sat down in a room and we just put together a project world record. We said, hey, this is Tim Montgomery. He's the project. We putting everything into him. We sitting out, and that's what happened. But during that course of time, now, don't get it wrong, only was Victor Cunty for 7 months. From November of 2000 to around July, August of 2001. That next year, I separated from Victor Cunty. I was looking for a doctor. I just couldn't find someone that didn't have something that was going to get me busted.
We only have a couple minutes left, and I do want to get your opinion about Usain Bolt, his talents, and what he has accomplished. How comfortable are you that he's accomplished what he's accomplished in a clean way?
I've seen Usain Bolt run younger, and I've seen the way he ran all while, and he couldn't really hold the speed. It's like seeing a engine on a bicycle, a Ferrari engine on a bicycle. It's just going to be all over the place. And I see now how he has cleaned up his run and so powerful. And I pray to God, like I always say, my little girl want to run track so bad, and she's pushing every day, that I want Usain Bolt to set a standard for everyone out there to say, hey, it can be done. And I pray that he's doing it.
I know that.
So I root for him every single night. I root for him every single day that, hey, it's going to be done. It's going to be done. So when I see him run, I'm shaking my head like, oh, that's impossible. But then I did the same thing with Michael Jordan when he played ball. I did the same thing with FloJo when I watched tape with her running 10.49. I just can't say if they are or not, but I know what I feel like is possible and not possible. And some of the things that his angles and some of the form, I just say it's not possible. But I can't say his performance and has some drugs. So all I can say is he's gifted. He's very gifted.
We only have about 40 seconds left. Are you happy with where you are in your life at this time, Tim?
Very. I know my purpose is to give back and not take away. I want everybody to go to my Numa Speed Facebook, Numa Speed web page. Please like our page. Every day I'm trying to push forward to push this message out and bring back what I didn't have, someone that I could listen to say, hey, he's been there, he's done it, let's pay attention. Like I went out to talk to some kids, and the kids say, well, you don't know nothing about our lifestyle. You've never been in prison before. You got gold medals and silver medals around your neck. I said, no, sir, I just left federal prison. And they said, oh, wow, now they listening. I sold not crack cocaine, not marijuana, but I got involved with heroin. Do not, I'm telling you, and they start to listen. So everything I've been through has been a blessing, because I don't know if I wouldn't have been through them things, how could I be on your talk show today?
I want to thank you, Tim. I got to run here, but a very inspirational story. I'm glad things are back on track for you in your life. Thank you for joining us on Sports Byline.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
Tim Montgomery, at one time the fastest man on the planet. We continue across the country and around the world. We've got you on America's Sports Talk Show.